Hello and welcome to the Cynic Weekly. I am back in the hosting seat this week. My name is Louis McCaffrey and I'm joined by a very handsome, fresh-faced panel. OGs, you know what I mean? People have been round the block a hell of a lot, so it's going to be a nice, relaxed podcast tonight. First up, my main man, my last co-host, it's Chris Armani. How are you, Christopher?
Not too bad, Louis. Terrific to be on the weekly, as per usual, and terrific to see you back in the hot seat. It's felt a wee bit wrong when Gal was back in the hot seat. You're the man in the chair, so to speak.
Yes, it feels like an electric chair sometimes, I'm not going to lie to you. But I know, it's good to be back. I've missed it recently. We're also joined by in a very grand-looking living room. It's Stu Duggan.
Hey, mate. Yeah, it's my living room. It's where I live. How are you? You good?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. So how are you, more importantly?
I'm good. I would like to take my opportunity as I'm being introduced to wish my friend Sean McCluskey a very happy birthday. It's his birthday today. I think it would mean a lot as a long-time listener if you would all wish him a happy birthday, if you don't mind.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Right. There you go. And I think we should also cover our bases in case he's not listening and just say that Sean's a total wank, total dick.
You've always been a bit wanky, Sean.
So there you go. That's him covered.
Snake.
That's
it. Absolute snake in the grass. Snake in the grass. That's what they call him in my way.
Perfect.
On snake.
That's
a good song.
You're a dick, Sean.
We should probably move on.
Happy birthday, dick.
Good way to see if he's still listening, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely himself. It's Mr. Christopher Bowd, sporting a new clean-shaven, clean-headed look. You're looking great, Bowdy. It's taking years off you.
Oh, thank you. Hey, well, absolutely. It was getting a bit caveman, so it just all went off. Aerodynamic. Look out, ladies.
Yeah. You're faster than the rain now.
Coming to a swimming pool near you. Going to shave that PB off a few seconds, don't you worry about that.
The Duncan get you.
So we're going to start off obviously with the game of the weekend, the game that's just been, Celtic 2 St Johnstone 0. A game that, you know, I thought about you guys obviously. I feel like I've taken a wee bit of a break and a backseat from Celtic, and I'm slowly getting into it again after the international break. Been trying to lay off the Twitter and group chats and things like that, and I watched the game, but I didn't really try and get into any of the noise before it or after it or things like that. But I must say I was looking forward to it, the game coming around, and I was relatively happy with what I saw, I must say. I feel like there's a wee bit of a change, and I don't know if it's just me. Be interested to see what you guys think, but it does feel as if there's been a wee bit of a change in mentality. I felt as if going into this game, I wasn't too fearful of it. I was more confident probably than I had been recently about getting a result. And certainly during the game, I wasn't particularly nervous about it. I was quite excited to see some of the players, and we're going to touch on the likes of Giamakis starting and things like that. But overall, I was quite relaxed, and it felt like it was back to being a Celtic team where, without being them about it, I wasn't being arrogant about it, but I kind of thought we would win. I didn't have any fear about if we were going to win or not. It was more about how many goals we were going to score. But I thought the game was good, and I thought we showed a few different things. So, Manny, sum up your thoughts on St Johnstone overall, and do you get what I mean about the kind of the mentality thing?
Yeah, there's a stability about the team now. You know, I'm sure we'll come and talk about Starfelt, you know, Carter Vickers. Well, you know, these players are now coming in, and earlier in the season, Starfelt especially, I think a lot of people were really concerned about him and about the back four's ability to defend. We obviously had the period without McCarthy, we had the period, not McCarthy, McGregor, and without Kyogo, which, you know, was a bit sticky. But now you think, as long as we've got our first choice midfield, first choice players fit, then we do look comfortable, we do look fairly stable. St Johnstone, St Johnstone, I thought they would get football stopped on Saturday, to be perfectly honest. They made no attempt to come at us. They simply tried to pack players behind the ball. And yet I wasn't too concerned when we didn't break them down right away. I thought we were biding our time. I thought we kind of just kind of picked away at them. We weren't, the first half wasn't very good. It wasn't particularly entertaining to watch in my mind, but I don't think we looked troubled by them. And I think overall it was a solid performance, and I'll take those any day of the week just now.
Stu, for you, I one thing that somebody's saying about how they played that kind of affected things, I don't know, maybe it is just me, maybe it was just the way St Johnstone decided to set up. I mean, St Johnstone have been the other really successful team, obviously, with their cup wins and things like that in the league. I thought they would come and have a wee bit more confidence to take the game to us. And I know they've lost people, you know, lost key players and things like that, but it almost did feel like they, like so many teams do when they come to Celtic Park, they thought, we're just going to have to fucking park the bus here. And I don't think we've had that from the opposition mentality, because I think we've looked weak. The other teams have went, no, we can have a go at them. Whereas I felt St Johnstone almost went back into that old, anybody else coming to Celtic Park going, oh, fuck, we can't compete here, let's just defend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that played into our hands for sure. I agree with you. I would have thought that they would have come and tried to play some slightly more expansive football, but they didn't. I don't think they had a single shot on target over the course of the 90 minutes. The one thing that when you talk about not feeling too nervous or anything like that, the one thing that I'm concerned about or that worries me is a sort of complacent performance similar to what we'd have seen against Dundee United. And I think that Dundee United got joy against us because they did kind of have a bit more of a go, and they were kind of, maybe that was at a point in which we were more fragile, or maybe the last few games we've played, teams haven't really had a go at us and we're a bit more comfortable. But in general, I think that you can see the whole team front to back seems a lot more comfortable with the system, with the way they play. I think Joe Hart had been talking about it, and the number of clean sheets that we've had recently and how there's been less individual mistakes. And he said that it wasn't that they were doing anything different, it's just that they were getting better at what they were doing. And I think that that's fair to say. I think there was some chat about how we were approaching the games in a slightly different fashion. And I think I would probably need someone with a bit more tactical savvy to explain that to me, because I still see a lot of the hallmarks that we did before, but it just seems that everyone's a lot more assured, and that perhaps there's a bit more of a patience about the team. Maybe they're not rushing quite as much, but do you know what? If you can keep knocking out 2-0 wins like that, I would absolutely take it every day of the week.
That's 3 2-0 wins we've knocked out in a row there, Bowd. What do you think of that?
Love knocking out a 2-0 win, pal. Happy to do that nightly. But I very much agree with everything that everyone said. Sir Manny, I think, kind of nailed it, especially the first half. It wasn't super entertaining, but it was absolutely dominant. You know, we were comfortable with the ball. The possession is silly. I think I've seen 79% somewhere. You just, as you touched on, Louis, we do feel a lot more comfortable as fans, I think. Certainly I do, watching games, whereas before, confidence was knocked a wee bit. We've had a few results earlier in the season that weren't great. Some of the performances weren't as good as they should have been, but we're now getting there. I think part of that comes from what we're talking about with the players just being more comfortable with the system and getting better maybe at those quick passes, which, you know, Ange, I think, has been drilling into them. And also, I think a big improvement we've seen is fitness. The players look a lot more fit. And again, I think that plays into it. I think you're going to be more comfortable in the ball, more confident of yourselves when you're getting nearer the end of the game and you're outrunning your opponents. But I think it was a solid performance. It wasn't the best football to watch in the world, but it was competent Celtic smashing them.
I think, like, I don't know what you guys think, but there was obviously talk about how we were potentially struggling a bit to break them down. Obviously, it just did become a game of, we're going to sit deep, you're going to need to try and break us down, which you know, it's a story old as time for us at Celtic Park. However, we've struggled with that a bit this season, and obviously at the weekend there, we maybe looked as if we were potentially struggling again to at least, you know, cut them open and create clear chances. We did get a slice of luck, Stu, and Ralston takes advantage of it, and Giamakis ends up getting his first goal, and I thought he took that fantastically well. But do you think it's harsh to say that we, you know, we had to take advantage of a bit of luck to break them down, or do you feel as if it was kind of coming?
Yeah, I would say that, like the Times article, we toiled. Celtic toiled to put away St Johnston. No, I think that is a wee bit harsh. I think that the level of control we had, it was never really getting desperate. I think because the goal came when it did, and because St Johnston didn't really pose much of a threat, the game felt quite comfortable. But I think one of in terms of those types of games that we are used to encountering at Celtic Park, and I guess that we are going to see a lot more of this season, what was really pleasing was the fact that we are now in a position where we can make offensive changes. All three substitutions changed up the front three, and for the better. Like, we'll talk about Mikey Johnson a bit, but when Mikey Johnson came on, he looked a real threat. The fact that Abada was able to come on in more of an impact role and just be given a little bit of time out of the spotlight, a bit out of the limelight, is going to do him wonders. And as far as Giacomakis goes, I think just getting a goal was really crucial, because in his little cameos that he's had, he's looked quite sprightly, quite lively, and has had a couple of like half chances or snatched at that chance. And I think that he'll just settle down now with a goal. And I think that he looks like, certainly, that he can offer a lot more than a Yeti can. And hopefully will be a big asset, especially if Ange's going to look to rotate the front three, as it looks like we might do.
Yeah, I mean, let's maybe talk, we'll touch on Giamakis a wee bit more later, but let's talk about individuals a bit. The team came out and Juranovic came back in, Somani, and I think we were all looking forward to seeing him back in the team. But of course, he plays left back. And it was left back that he was playing when he got injured as well. And he's probably, well, he's played more left back than he has right back for us since he's joined. What's your thoughts on that? Is it still a sense of frustration, the fact that we're not seeing him in his kind of favoured side and his favoured position? And is it because of Ralston doing a good job and therefore wanting to keep him in the team, or is it because Bolly's fucking, I don't know, you've got to assume he's injured or something, that there's no adequate player at left back?
See, Juranovic playing, obviously long term you want him to play at right back, right? That's what he was signed for, that's where he's played his career, right? Right now I'm not as bothered as other people, and when I say right now is because we are kind of still a kind of, you know, mashed together side, you know, and Ralston is doing a steady enough job at right back. Absolutely, I do not want him to be our right back going forward. I don't think he's good enough, certainly not good enough for Europe. But right now, in terms of, you know, talking about stability, he's playing at right back. I'm okay with Juranovic playing at right left back. One of the main reasons for that is I think that all the left backs we've got are shite. Now, see this, even Bowley, I mean, he's came in against Livingston and done okay, came in against Motherwell and done okay. But he's a moments away from implosion. We've seen the handball against Motherwell. This whole notion, I mean, right now, is he the best natural left back we've got available? Probably. But well, really, really low bar.
So what would you rather? Would you rather play Bolly at left back and Juranovic right back, or Ralston right back and Juranovic left back? I mean, what's the lesser of two evils?
Right now, Ralston at left back, right back and Juranovic at left back. I don't think many people will agree with me, but there's a narrative where people think that, you know, Bolly's going to become a footballer for us, and that he's not good enough for Celtic. I've really not forgiven him for what he done last season either. I mean, I know we covered this last week and Stu said his only crime was being horny.
But horny man.
His other crime was fucking us up in terms of the fixture backlog we had. I don't think Bolly's got a future at the club. It's weird the way that he's just dropped in, you know. If I'm being honest, ability-wise, I don't know if there's much difference between having Bolly at left-back and Ralston at right-back and Juranovic going between them. But for me, I don't see Bolly having a future. I don't think he's very good either. So right now, if Ange is choosing to play Ralston at right-back and Juranovic at left-back, until we can sort those full-back positions out properly, I'm okay with that.
So, we love a narrative spin one. Why spin where's Bolly? Where's Bolly and what's happened?
Where's Bolly?
Why is he getting dropped in and out? I don't get it.
Do you know what? That's a fucking class idea for the Superstore for Christmas. Make a Where's Bolly book and just put him all over Europe, not being left back for Celtic. Can someone knock that up? It is weird, the fact that he just tips in for a game and then is not in the squad. But I think that it boils down to trust. I think that Ange trusts Ralston at right back more than he trusts Bolly at left back. And I think that with due reason, like with what Ralston's shown in terms of his application this season, I think it was might have been Kieran actually on the agenda yesterday talking about how nobody among the squad has bought into Postecoglou's style of football, style of training more than Ralston, and even went as far as to describe him as like a leader at training in terms of setting the bar for how they should go about things. So I think that will stand Ralston in good stead. And as Sir Manny says, his performances have been completely capable and completely adequate for domestic. I think he has been shown up a bit at European level, but I think he deserves a lot of credit. And I think that Juranovic is left back at the moment just because of a lack of options. And I would agree with Sir Manny that I'm quite happy for it to continue because Juranovic looks like a really competent footballer that can just, if he's asked to do it, he'll just go in and do it, and that's fine. I think that gets you either until you get Taylor back, although I know there's chat about that being a bit longer than most, or until you can maybe get an adequate replacement and then they figure it out. But it's a problem position and it's a solution to a problem for just now.
Bowdy.
Aye. I think the other aspect, and you can argue about whether it was a mistake at the time doing it, but Bolly isn't in that European squad, so is there much point going Bolly, Josip at right back, and then having to swap it back every time we're playing a team in Europe? Especially now, considering, you know, there's something to fight for in that group. So I agree. I think Bolly has looked decent enough when he's came in, but he's not, you know, he's not set the heaven alight. He's not, you know, blown you away with how good he is. Ralston, as Stu was talking about, seems to have taken to Ange's way of working and is a big part of the squad. You know what? He's earned it. So I think Ange's probably right. You know, he'll be looking to me for advice, but Ange's probably right with what he's doing. Go Ralston right back and Juranovic at left back. He's capable. Ideally, do you want your best players playing in their best positions? Yep, you want Juranovic at right back. You want a decent left back in, but where we are just now, I think he's got it right.
We must be careful about throwing stones here because, as Barry Gallagher's pointed out, Juranovic currently does not look like he's in Glasgow. I presume it's a historic photo, but on his Instagram at the moment, he looks like he's somewhere very sunny with a lady. So he might have just gone and done a Bolly himself and just been a lot more upfront about it.
And his only crime will be, Stu?
Well, he was a horny man and more power to him.
Oh, more power to the man, yep.
I think when it comes to fullback this season, not even this season, at least until January, you're just going to have to make do because I think of all the fullbacks we've got at the club, only Juranovic is capable of playing this inverted fullback role that Ange wants to. So right now, you're just kind of cobbling it together. So Bolly, Ralston, Taylor, none of these guys you want near our first team if, you know, once we get the players in that we want. So right now, it is what it is. And I'm hoping that they're going to try and address it in January as opposed to waiting to the summer.
Yeah, I mean, one other thing I would say is that, you know, the bench at the weekend, in terms of kind of defensive players, you only really had Adam Montgomery and Stephen Welsh, which is good because it was all defensive players and we had no attackers on the bench. But, you know, somebody like Adam Montgomery there is probably taking the position away from Bolly because Montgomery can play both left back and left wing. So, you know, he can do many, like, you know, he can do two roles, whereas Bolly, obviously just at left back, he's maybe not even getting on the bench because of that. So he's not versatile enough to get on the bench, and if he's not going to start, then he doesn't get in the squad.
And not to get ahead of yourselves, but Sir Manny, you're talking about sorting it in January. We've got four left backs right now. I do not see us bringing in another left back in January unless two of them get punted. But when you've got Scales, Bolly, Greg Taylor and Montgomery all classed as left backs, I would be shocked if we brought another one in.
Yeah, I mean, you would still suspect, and I assume that Bolly, if Bolly is not going to play, that he would be moved on. Because I think, obviously, leaving him out there, the European squads, it was expected that he was probably going to be going anyway. So we'll need to wait and see in that one. One player who I think has had a bit of a journey, shall we say, so far this season is Carl Starfelt. Samani, are you starting to believe the hype? Do you think he has turned a corner, or, you know, do we need to have a memory longer than a couple of weeks, as one so famously said?
I think it's a mixture of both. You know, you cautiously welcome it. I also think that there was a bit too much criticism that went his way. I don't think, apart from perhaps the AZ Alkmaar game away, I mean, that's one of the most ridiculous. That's up there with Cha against Rennes when he put it past Forster, that own goal that he scored. But other than that, I don't think he's been quite as bad as some people made out. He still looks a wee bit awkward in possession. You know, he's not ire when it comes to playing football from the back, but he looks like he can defend. He looks like, you know, he's got a decent partnership with Carter Vickers, you know, who I'm pleased with as well. I think he's playing really well for us just now. He looks solid. I think that issue about stability that we talked about earlier on as well. And, you know, we'll touch on the press conference where Claire today asked Cal McGregor about how we've tweaked it a wee bit and, you know, we're more, you know, comfortable in possession. I think the fact that the games aren't stretched allows our defenders to be a wee bit more protected, and you can see that that they're starting to kind of form a decent partnership at centre-half there. So I do think he's got better, even though I think the overall criticism was a wee bit harsh from a lot of people. But at the same time, still, word of caution, you know, you need a sample size longer than a few months, but the signs are good.
Yeah, I mean, he's. I think he was definitely kind of, from what I saw, I felt as if he was definitely man of the match. I thought he looked very composed when he was on the ball. Now, don't get me wrong, there was a lot of times where, because of how deep they were sitting, he was in acres of space, not really under pressure, could pick his passes, and he still kept it relatively simple as well. But he very rarely kind of gives possession away, and we kind of knew that coming in. I think that's what his stats had kind of shown. But he's not great in the air. He doesn't seem that aggressive. He still looks like a guy who is thinking his way through the game rather than it, you know, potentially coming naturally. Stu, you know, obviously we've got Julien back in training now, and you know, I think Ange just said that Julien probably won't be ready to feature until after the next international break. I mean, you'd have to suspect he's going to try and get him some bounce games or something in the meantime. But, you know, Starfelt is our player. We've paid money for him. Does Julien come back in and go straight into that team, upset the two that are there? And if he does, who does he take over from?
I think that's a really difficult decision, especially on current form, and if they're going to continue playing like this, because we talked about stability. I think confidence has been a big thing as well. You can see that Starfelt looks more confident, certainly than he would have done in some of his earlier games. I agree with Samani, incidentally, that some of the criticism levelled at him was a bit harsh and a bit much too soon. But it is a difficult one, because we were clamouring for Julien to get back into the team. But they do look very solid just now, and they're playing really well. And also, got short memories when it comes to Julien, and sometimes his erratic tendencies as a defender. So it's not like a Callum McGregor or a Kyogo where he has to come straight back into the team. Like, he absolutely does not have to come straight back into the team. I like Julien a lot. I think he's got a lot of great attributes, a real asset in terms of goal scoring, a real asset in terms of his physicality and as a penalty box defender. But that's kind of more the role that Carter Vickers plays in the team, I would say, with Starfelt being slightly more of a ball player, although, as you've said, not quite to the standard that like Ayer would have been. So I don't think it's as open and shut. And I'm not sure whether Carter Vickers is going to sign or whether it's a loan deal, because he didn't. I still can't quite shake the feeling that he doesn't really want to be here and he's just kind of going through it, as good as he's been. But he didn't really want to come, and then it all happened last minute. And I still remember that interview where he looked like he was being held hostage. And I don't know is the short answer, but I think it's the short answer, but I've given you both the long answer and the short answer.
He does look grumpy as fuck sometimes, I'll give you that.
I heard a rumour that he's on a 35% cut of all Catholic United merchandise. And let's just say that Carter Vickers is on a pretty penny with all the stuff that they've sold to the Celtic support. I think when it comes to Julian, the two of them are in possession of the jerseys just now, 100%. And we only need to think back, you know, 5-6 weeks ago when people were crying for Welsh to be in the team instead of Starfelt. I don't think anybody would be doing that just now. They're in possession of the jerseys. But Julian coming back is a great thing because it talks about that competition for places, you know. You know, we'll get Johnson back. I'm sure we'll come and talk about him. Hopefully Forrest comes back. 7 to 10 days, I heard, boys. 7 to 10 days. And then he'll be in contention. But this is all good because it keeps players in front of them on their toes. And I do think if you've got somebody like Julian, who I think's probably best out of the three on the ball, if I'm being honest, if he's kind of available for to be picked, then that competition's good for everybody.
Also, don't think we have to worry about it, because he will, as much as he's back in training, it'll probably be, you know, a few weeks before he's anywhere near it. And then it's the end of November, and all of a sudden you've got the semi in the cup. You've got December where you've got like 8-9 games or whatever. There's going to naturally be rotation. If somebody doesn't get injured or suspended, you're going to want to start, you know, putting players in there. So I think that gives you your opportunity to, even if they're both doing really well. And as you say, you want that stability. At some point, when you've got a dozen games in a couple of weeks, you're going to want to change some of the players out.
There could be a nice three. I mean, I know you wouldn't play all three of them, but having someone in there who's aerially dominant, like Julian is, it's probably what's missing between the other two. And obviously, Somani's saying he's probably the best passer as well, but... yeah, I mean, I think there's probably a case of the Effie Ambroses about, you know, Julian. You know, people automatically think, as Stu said, that he is, you know, this fantastic player, you know, best centre-back of the club and all that sort of thing. Not always the case. In Europe, I think he played well, and he was good in the European games when we were a wee bit, you know, under the cosh and things like that, and he could defend well. But, you know, we can all bring up the Livingston games and things like that where he kind of showed his weaknesses. But I think it will be interesting to see, in terms of his standing in the squad, what happens with him. You know, if he does come straight back in, I think that'll be a bit of a statement.
But I was just going to say, his seniority with the squad is a good thing. Like, that's definitely a real string to his bow, in that he's won trophies, he's been there, he's done it, which certainly when you come to the kind of business end of the season might be very important for us. But I think, kind of like what Boud says, having three that are really good and interchangeable will be helpful with big runs in December.
The question, though, that hasn't been answered about Julian is, how is he going to come back from a knee injury?
Yeah.
And he wasn't blessed with pace to start with, so it'll be interesting to see if he's right back up to speed or not, in terms of where he was before the
centre-backs are money. Centre-back?
What did I call him?
No, you said right back up to speed, and then I hilariously inferred that you're calling him a right-back.
You've always been two steps ahead of me. That went straight
four,
over my
4D chess.
4D chess, straight over my head. but anyway, he's... Yeah, who knows? He might not be the player he was. We'll see what happens with him. But incidentally, how good was it to see Effie back at Celtic Park? You know, just not playing for us. I love it.
I did not know he played for him.
Surprised. There he is. There was a moment in the first half where he was about to take a throw-in, and just as someone must shout something at him, and it must have been like quite funny because he did sort of like stop what he was doing and he turned around to acknowledge the fan before he made the throw-in. It's like, that's the level of focus that he obviously has carried with him.
Aye, his great affection for the Celtic sport, clearly. Listen, we want to talk about the main man of the moment, big Giamakis. I'm a big fan of Giamakis. I must say,
you've said his name wrong every single time.
Ah, fucking hell. The big Georgios. How am I meant to say it?
There's an extra K in there, mate. It's Giamakis.
Giamakis, fucking is it? Hell, man.
What did right away a minute?
Now I'm worried that I've called him out and I've got it wrong.
I would love that.
Wait, pronounce his name, please.
Giamakis.
All right, we're safe, lads.
Pronounce his name.
Giacomakis. There's a K in there.
Bowed, you don't care, do you?
It's a silent K.
I'm going to fall on Stu's side here. Giacomakis.
I'm going to say Giacomakis.
Giacomakis, yep. Jackie Jackinowski.
It's Giacomakis.
So what about the I? Are we just fucking ditching the I? Jacka.
Callum Gordon referred to him as Cactus Jack, which I thought was amazing. So that should get going.
Aye, let's go with Cactus Jack. Listen, the big man, obviously starting in the middle. So Kyogo was moved out wide, which I'm pretty sure Ange said after the Derby game he wouldn't fuck about with again. But here we are. But you know, he starts through the middle. I was really excited to see him. You know, I think so far we've seen a lot of his kind of, you know, what he can bring to the team in terms of his physicality, holding up, you know, kind of holding up the ball, backing into players, linking play, which I think is great. It was good to see him score a goal, though, getting the score sheet. As we've spoke about many a time, we've got a long list of strikers that have came to the club. They've not been able to get a goal, you know, kind of early on or show any sort of consistency early on. We're very quick to write them off. Stu, are you getting the feeling that Giacomakis is, you know, do you think he's going to add a real worth to the team in terms of maybe even more than the likes of somebody like a Yeti has? I mean, a Yeti has scored goals. He has still got some fans on his side, but do you think Giacomakis will be the real alternative to Kyogo, even though they're kind of totally different?
Yeah, I think it's just options. I think it creates options and different ways to play against teams. I've got quite a good feeling about him. I found a real fondness for him on Saturday. I think that he's clearly applying himself well. He looks really energetic and really like he's trying to make an impact, which is as much as you can ask when he's only been given 10, 20 minutes a game. And I think it goes without saying that you don't get the best out of Kyogo when you put him out wide, but maybe it's just a case of what games you decide that you can rotate and either give like Abada a rest, for example, or give Jota a rest or whatever it is you want to do with moving Kyogo around. And I also think that say you're playing left back for St Johnstone and you're getting ready all week and you think Abada, you think maybe Jota, you're like, thank fuck I'm not up against Kyogo, at least not on his side. And then you see the teams line up and you're like, what the fuck's going on here? This was not part of the deal. I did not sign up for this. And it just gives you a totally different look. And I kind of think that as we move forward, it's quite evident that front three are going to be quite interchangeable. So it might depend on the opposition. But I think that getting Giacomakis, getting Big Cactus Jack minutes... I've lost it, mate. I know. Now we've talked about it too much. It's like any word that you say too many times doesn't sound real. So Cactus Jack, getting him some minutes, proper minutes, getting him a goal and getting him starting to play with a bit of confidence, I think is really important if that's how we're going to be moving forward.
Yeah. On you go.
I'm more of a fan of Giacomakis versus Ferencváros than I was against St Johnstone, if I'm being honest. I think you saw some of the strengths of Giacomakis in the Europa League tie more so than Saturday. You know, he can get the ball up the pitch. You know, he could draw fouls. You know, we haven't had a striker like that for a while. I just think if you're playing him through the middle and then you're kind of accommodating Kyogo out the right, you're losing so much. So I'm not saying that, you know, he's not going to, you know, I don't like him. I really do. I was really pleased with how he ended the game against Ferencváros, but
it took his goal well.
He did take his goal well, but other than that, he isn't involved in the same way as Kyogo did. And it's almost like, well, it's not that comparable, but I'm going to make the comparison anyway. It was almost like when you moved Sutton out of position to play Larsson and Hartson up front. Now, we all know that Hartson was a great striker, but, you know, Sutton and Larsson were one of the greatest strike duos of all time in my eyes. So I'm
4-4-2, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying 4-4-2. I am saying 4-4-2. You took the words out of my mouth. I genuinely do think, though, if you did play two up top, I think him and Kyogo could be very good together, but that's very unlikely to happen. So generally speaking, see if Kyogo's fit. I'm not starting Giakoumakis, but I think he is a guy who could do lots of good things for us in certain games. You know, trying to hold the lead against them, for instance, at Ibrox or something like that. You want balls up to him, drawing the fouls, things like that, Europe as well. But if you asked me a straight choice in a game like Sunday, it's Kyogo through the middle of the way.
Why don't we just play 3-5-2, Julian in at centre-half, and them two up front? We don't need to worry about the fullbacks.
Are you, Neil Lennon?
Get him back, bring him back.
Absolutely, bring the thunder back. Bowdy, before we move on, because we are going to move on to the games this week, did you take this win, you know, kind of going back to what I said at the start, do you think that we kind of took this win for granted, maybe like the old days? And I say the old days, I mean, when we were dominant and we were expecting, we always not expect to win, but we always hope to win. Do you think there's a bit of a confidence coming back against the likes of St Johnstone and against other teams where it's not a case of, fuck, this could be a really difficult game today. It's going to be, right, how many goals are we going to score when we win this game? Do you feel that sense of we're getting that confidence back?
Yeah, especially at home, I think. but I mean, over the last four games, we've seen a kind of marked improvement. We know this, you know, we know this team can work incredibly well when it's firing on all cylinders. So I think we're just going to see them get better and better as the season goes on. The big thing is keeping the players. We already know we don't have the depth of squad that we need, but as you've kind of touched on, we've got Forrest coming back, we've got Julien coming back. I think most fans, certainly I am, feeling a lot more confident. Players like Mikey Johnson, who again, I think looked great at the weekend, looked very dangerous, had that chance where he struck the post. Yeah, it's all good. It's all gravy.
All gravy. Right, we're going to move on to the games this week. So we've got Hibs away tomorrow. Going to Easter Road. We haven't won in the league at Easter Road since 2014. I think this could be quite a statement if we could manage to win tomorrow night. Firstly, though, Claire Wilde was at the press conference today with Cal McGregor. He was taking questions from the fan media group, and she asked him about, you know, we've kind of alluded to this, about a possible change in style recently from the games that we saw at the start of the season, the likes of the Dundee game, for example. We were all out attacking, and we kind of get the impression that maybe things have changed. So Claire put that to Cal McGregor today.
The first few matches under Ange, we saw kind of fast, direct attacking play, and then after the international break, it seemed that it was a bit more controlled and patient in the build-up. Would you agree with that? And is it something you kind of worked on specifically?
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of two things in terms of one, you know, we probably wanted more control in the games. You know, previous to that, it was a little bit, you know, we attack, you attack, and it became a little bit stretched the game. So that's something that we have been looking at in terms of trying to control the game more, control the ball, build up the pitch, and then we sort of get set for our attack. And if it breaks down, then everyone's together to go and press the ball and win the ball back. And what that does is it brings teams, you know, further back the pitch, which then kills the counter attack. So, and I think, you know, just in terms of how well we've been playing, I think now teams are probably sitting a little bit deeper as well. So there's probably a connection with the two things there, I would say.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Cheers, thank you.
You know, I think that's good to hear. I think clearly they are working on these things, and I think there has been a marked difference since we came back. Obviously, we've had 3-2-0 victories since we came back after the international break, and we seem to have kind of stabilised things in the league, which is good. I think we'll maybe come back to that and touch on that in a wee second. Stu, could you put into context what you think the game tomorrow night away at Hibs is it, you know, can you just say, look, it's 3 points like any other, or do you think there's a wee bit more to this one, given the fact that we've not had a league victory there in so long?
I think there's maybe a bit more to it in that, see, a lot of the points that we've dropped this season already, you can kind of have caveats for them, but we've now dropped too many points to just be dropping points at the places we normally drop points, if that makes sense. And so if Easter Road has been notoriously difficult for us, this is a place where we kind of can't really afford to drop points, whereas maybe normally we could afford to have a bad record there. So I think that it's important that it's not a hoodoo and that it's not a psychological barrier, because it's a new team. There's a lot of new players there. It's a new manager. It's a new approach. Hibs are on a bad run of form. There's a lot of talk about dressing room dissent there as well. And it's a good time to be getting them. And I think that if you can go and put in a really controlled performance and see if it's a 1-0 or a 2-0, just come away with the 3 points. I think that's a massive statement of this team maturing and them getting better as a group and them getting better at what they're doing. And the comments that McGregor made there were great, where they've obviously talked about it and they've looked at it and said, this is how we want to play. This is the sort of team we want to be. But at the moment, I thought when he said, we attack, you attack, we attack, you attack, that's not sustainable. And the fact that they've looked at that and gone, well, how can we keep this style of football, play the way we want to play, but also be slightly more sensible with it? And I think if you can get a result, it shows that that system is worth the buy-in and worth the investment from everyone. So I think it's actually quite a lot bigger than that.
So Manny, yourself, do you agree, or do you just treat it as any other game?
The Hibs game, I mean, I think you have to treat it as any other game. I mean, we had the away game Hoodoo against Aberdeen, and you know that kind of disappeared. See, the only one I'm kind of starting to believe in is the Tony Macaroni Stadium. I hate that shithole. That's the only one I kind of believe in if we're talking superstition. Easter Road, I don't think it is. But I genuinely think we just need to go and do what we're doing. You know, they get beat off Aberdeen at the weekend. You know,
they've lost our last three games in the league.
Yep. Just going to say that, but thanks for
great minds.
So they beat off Aberdeen, who were in a terrible run of form themselves. They've lost a few games in the league. You know, Ross has done well with that side so far this season, but they're far, far from unbeatable. And I think we're playing decent football. I mean, the Aberdeen game was a wee bit dogged, you know, but I thought we deserved to win. I thought we looked comfortable, generally speaking, against Motherwell away from home. Good performance against Ferencvaros. Coming in the St Johnstone game, much the same. I'm fairly confident for tomorrow night. I think we just need to go in, do what we've been doing, forget about what's happened previously, and just play football, because we're a better football inside than them. I think we'll blow away one of these hoodoos tomorrow night. I don't think we need to prepare any differently than we normally would.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't know if this is just me hyping it up myself, but I feel as if it's a massive game. You know, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it's just one of those, for the last couple of days going to work and that, I'm just kind of counting down the days to the game, because I just think I think we really could make a big statement. I think, you know, you don't want to get too ahead of yourself. I think obviously we had the Aberdeen result, we had the international break, we've came back, we've had three wins since then so far, two in the league, one in Europe. And I just think if we can beat Hibs, who are a good team, you know, they are a good team, but I think if we can beat them away and take the points, then I do think it gives I do think it makes some sort of statement that we have gotten our shit together. We've maybe kind of rode out that really rough patch that we had before the international break, and we're not the same team now. We're learning, albeit we're learning on the job, but we're learning quickly. And you know, at the weekend there, I mean, Rangers were getting beat and it was all down to a point between us. You know, we're not very far away. I think tomorrow night, I think, who is it they've got? Have they got Aberdeen or Hearts or something?
Aberdeen at home.
I mean, listen, the way Aberdeen are playing, you don't really expect them to do much, but it just shows you, win tomorrow night at Easter Road, make that statement about, you know, winning there since 2014. You don't know what might happen in the other game. You might be down to a point. I think it could be a pivotal night tomorrow night. So, Manny, and then Bowdy, for your thoughts.
You're right. But the precarious nature of this is kind of highlighted by the fact that, see, if we get beat, it goes the other way. It's 7 points, and that's completely different. And everybody's mindset is there. But, you know, the character this side has shown in the last few games has really shone through. And as I said, I'm confident about tomorrow night. But what we just need to focus on, we can't focus on them and getting close to them. We'll get closer as they drop points. Our entire thought process has to be win the next game, win the next game, win the next game. You know, we need to forget that we've strung three wins together. We need to actually just think, right, whatever. Job done then. Sorry, smack my microphone. Job's done. On to the next game. That one game at a time cliche is dead important for us just now, because we can't get ahead of ourselves because we are still 4 points behind. I'm very confident for tomorrow night, very confident. But I mean, you just need to concentrate on Hibs, then Livingston, and go from there.
Audi, for yourself, how are you feeling about it?
Aye, confident. I think you're both right. From the team's point of view, from Ange's point of view, it should just be another game. Let's just focus on this game and get the result. But you're right, from a fan's point of view, and I suppose for the team as well, getting that hoodoo off our back that's been there for 7 years is a great thing to do. And that helps build that confidence we're talking about. Another tough away result. It all just builds to kind of building our confidence, making this a team of winners. All the usual cliched shite that you talk about is genuinely quite important for a team that wants to win the league. It is tough, but Hibs, as you've all said, on a poor run. Some tough games, but, you know, three on the trot they've lost. For us, from our point of view, it's a great time to be going there. And with the team firing on all cylinders, everybody seems to be fit. You've got other people starting to come back. You've got Mikey Johnson getting to the point where he can start playing 90 minutes. At some point in the future, we're going to have Mikey Johnson, we're going to have Abada, we're going to have Yota, we're going to have Forrest all vying on those wings, plus Kyogo as well, possibly getting in there when he's not up front. It's a very exciting time when we think of the front three
for Celtic. Absolutely. So listen, let's not just talk about the front three, let's talk about the whole team starting 11. Obviously Joe Hart picked himself.
The other thing I want to say, Louis, we didn't get to shout about fucking Chris Kane. That wanker.
Chris Kane, aye, what a dick, eh? What a dick. Aye. Anyway. I miss that in terms of Scott Brown. Scott Brown would have fucking done him at some point. Cal McGregor wouldn't do that.
It has kind of been noted that see that fracas and then the one against Ferencváros when Ralston got right up in the boy's face that kicked Kyogo. That's good to see as well. See Joe Hart running out to get involved in good old-fashioned dust-up.
Honours.
And it's showing a togetherness. I think there's a lot of togetherness in that team.
Yeah.
You hear it a lot when Joe Hart's interviewed and he keeps talking about how they're building something and they're building something. I think that they all really believe that. So I think that's the sort of thing that will stand you in good stead over the course of the season as well.
Alan Edgar calls for that. He's been calling for that for a long time. I think that's just because Alan's an angry man.
He's a resident hard man.
He calls for that. Shouting people over through the table to start getting into fights.
I think you can quote us all.
Try a pint here, Alan.
Yeah, I think you can quote us all in that. Alan Edgar thinks he's a bit of a ticket and he wants the Celtic team to be modelled in his image. But he'd have been delighted with that, you know, be bit of argy bargy outside, pal, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's good to see a togetherness in the side.
Absolutely. I do think that is a good point, Stu. I think there is a togetherness there that clearly, you know, you've got to assume that Postecoglou is building himself. You know, he's making that happen.
You think Bolly would give you that? Going back to your original point at the pod.
It is Bolly.
Eh?
where's Bolly? Page 7, don't know. Bolly and on a beach somewhere. You got to try and
doing that Harry Maguire talking to a beautiful lady beside there.
I also think it might be a Scud book, you know, Bolly. Where's Bolly? You know, he could be in various different sexual positions. Anyway, let's move on. Starting 11, fullbacks. Bowd, you can start us off. Are you doing what Somani's saying, sticking with Ralston right back, Juranovic left back, or are you bringing in Chief Liam Jagger Scales himself? Oh, Liam Scales, lovely. Aye.
No, I mean, at some point I would actually like to see more of these players get a chance, but I think right now, I think you keep the whole back five as is. I think that's
back five as is.
Providing Juranovic is back, his flight doesn't get held up.
Listen, he's got that private jet. Don't worry, he's no still in Dubai. He'll be there tomorrow. Would anybody change the back five?
No, but I think he'll bring Bolly in, genuinely.
Really?
That'll be a midweek surprise.
Aye. It's like, all right, okay, we're settled here. Juranovic left back, Ralston at right back. The fuck?
It's a pair of shaggles.
Where's Bolly?
With obviously, with Ralston dropping out then. I mean, listen, yeah, you could see it. You absolutely could. Okay, midfield three obviously picks itself because there's nobody else. Thought it was funny how Ange said that McCarthy was fit and yet he didn't make the bench. So, Manny, any details on your boy?
February. That's when he'll come good.
7 to 10 days.
February 2023, which means he'll still have a couple of years in his contract.
Listen, you can't buy this bonding time that McCarthy and Forrest have got, so just use weight, lads. Just use weight.
What a fucking joke, that guy is.
Can I pick the front three, please?
No, I'm picking.
Yes, get ahead of yourself, your pal.
Because I know what you're going to do.
I'm going to do, Samantha. It's what you're going to do.
It's what I'm going to do. It's what he needs to do. Do you want to see it?
It's Mikey Johnson left.
Yes.
It's Jota right.
Yes.
He'll go up top.
Yes.
Oh,
whoa. Dangerous, lads. That's dangerous.
Yep. Right, let's talk about Mikey Johnson, because Bowd's been choking. He's mentioned him half a dozen times. Right. I mean, the guy was written off. I am very happy to say I did throw him under the bus, flip-flop, whatever you want to call it. Stevie, I said that we should... Aye, we should just fucking forget about him because he's still got to be a footballer.
This is a guy that gets injured getting on the bus, let alone going under it.
Exactly. I still think it's going to be short-lived. I still think he's going to get injured very, very soon and, you know, everybody's going to be disappointed again. But it does kind of have the feelings to, you know, I think especially that when he came on in the Ferencváros game and he was playing through the middle, I thought he looked great through the middle, but... he did look as if he had that kind of magic about him. Do you really think we should be getting excited here?
No, I think you should enjoy it while you can, because I also agree that
love is fleeting.
He's an absolute time bomb, and he's like one of those like wooden toys that you just push the bottom of and then they collapse and that's them done. But for the time being, he's looking really good. He looks like he's building his fitness, and I think that tomorrow night is going to be the night that he is, and I think he's merited it. I merited a start. I think that it's unquestionable what Jota's brought to that team in terms of his goals and assists and just looking so lively constantly. Same with Kyogo. There's a little bit of a question mark about Abada's form at the moment. And I think you've got an absolute ready-made replacement to go in there, put Johnston on the left and put Jota on the right and just blow them away. And then at 60 minutes, bring on Abada, make sure, get the wee man in his cotton wool and... Or just a hospital, whatever he requires, hopefully not that, and then see where he's at. But I think he's merited to start, and I think he's going to get it tomorrow night.
So, Manny, Sim?
Absolutely. Mikey Johnson is going to be superb tomorrow night. He's going to be sensational. And he's going to not get injured for three games.
Oh,
I'm making big claims here, man. Big claims. I stand by them. Maybe not by Thursday. I won't stand by them, but you know, right now I'm standing by them. I would start them tomorrow. I think Abada's form is. I don't think he's dipped. I don't think Abada's been contributing very much. So I think Abad is right to be dropped.
But again, he's right to be dropped. Yeah, that's what he should be playing. He should be coming off the bench.
He's only 19, right? So that's not a massive criticism of him right now. But, you know, if Forrest was fit, you would play Forrest. You've got Jota, who can play in any one of those positions across the front three, and you've got Mikey Johnson, who's come in and looked good in the last two games. For me, he deserves a start. I've always thought he's a really talented player, Mikey Johnson. People sometimes conflate the fact he's always injured with the fact that he's shite. He's not. He's just a young guy whose development's been stunted a wee bit because of his injury record. But we've already seen on numerous occasions what he's capable of. You know, even games... Remember the last time he won at Ibrox, you know, it was his through ball for Edouard. You know, that was a great, great, great pass. We've seen what he's capable of. We've seen him score a goal from us. He was unlucky at the weekend. He's a real talent. We need to kind of just hopefully he can get over these injury problems. And right now, when he's fit, after those two cameos he's had, I'd start him. I would start him tomorrow. I hope he is started, because I think he genuinely could make a difference. He's a great talent. You just don't want to. Don't want him to be one of those ones that never fulfilled their potential.
Yeah. Bowdy, do you think Postecoglou might stick with the team at the weekend and play Jacky Marcus again? Although that would mean Kyogo being out wide again and I don't think he wants to make a habit of that. But you know, the big man did score. He did look, he could be a good, you know, having someone with the physicality up front against Hibs, you know, might be good as well, you know.
Aye. Double G looks good, and I think we all agree, you know, Furuhashi through the middle was where he's best, but that's not to say he's, you know, he can't play in the wing. He's, you know, perfectly capable of that. He's got the attributes that are pretty useful out there, but I think the question really is, can Mikey Johnson give you, I was going to say 90 minutes, he doesn't need to give you 90 minutes, but can he give you a solid hour? And I know, you know, fitness is important to Ange, so I think it'll maybe fall down on that. But when Johnson's fit, it's magical.
Touch on the Livingston game just before we wrap up. We've got Livingston at home on Saturday. Obviously, you know, it's a very different game, you know, at home against them as away, obviously, and we have struggled. So, Manny, do you think it's a chance for us to maybe rotate the squad? Just because obviously the games are coming thick and fast, would you maybe be up for rotating things a wee bit? Maybe the likes of Jacky Marcus is starting again if he misses out tomorrow night.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think tomorrow is. I think we kind of were tweaked it a wee bit at the weekend with tomorrow night in mind. Whereas I think Livingston at home, they are a completely different animal to when you play them away from home. And I think we probably could mix it up a wee bit, so I wouldn't have any issue with that. It just depends on what happens tomorrow. You know, if we get the result, you know, we can do that. If we don't get the result, I imagine we'll probably play as strong a team as we possibly can. But hopefully we get the 3 points in the bag and we can maybe tweak it a wee bit on Saturday.
So you're obviously going to probably disagree with us because you're very pro Mikey Johnson, but would Saturday not be a better occasion to maybe start Johnson and stick with our players, maybe even Abada, you know, going back to the team that we've had tomorrow night?
No. I suppose that's the short answer. No, it's not. I think that Johnson's been building and building week on week with his subs appearances, and he needs to get a start. I think I'd rather see 60 minutes from him. I think tomorrow's obviously a more difficult game, and I think that a player like Johnson can help unlock what could be a closely contested game. The frustrating thing about Livingston at home is that it's so different from Livingston away. I think that's what makes Livingston away so frustrating, is that I reckon that we'll turn them over on Saturday. I'm not worried about that really at all. And I think there is scope to rotate, but I think that it will be determined by tomorrow's result. But one game at a time. I think that the players and Ange will be looking at it one game at a time. And so I will do the same.
Well, that's very fair enough, Boud.
Yep. I was just going to say, I'll tell you something else. Tell you something for none, Louis. See that? Let that levy away. Voodoo, even forget that. 4-0. Next game at levy, 4-0. Put the mortgage on it.
Wow.
Boom. And just blow it.
Wait, actually, do put the mortgage on it. That would be a right good laugh to see you shitting bricks watching Celtic versus Livingston.
Not even on a victory, though, on 4-0, which is...
Everyone's like, 3-0, we're having a fucking great time.
I just want to pick some goal scorers, I know. Listen, very quickly, before we finish up, we've been linked with some players. We've been linked with another Japanese forward who actually plays for the team that Ange came from. So he obviously knows him. And we've been linked with a left-back from Derby, Lee Buchanan, who I think we'd previously been linked with in the summer as well. You know, one left-back there, one striker. So, Manny, do you think, you know, if you get any hesitations now about going into the Japanese market, or are we going to be so kind of, you know, are we just going to think that every player's Kyogo, which is my kind of fear with it? Are you happy that we're going to continue to explore that route for January? And what about a forward? Do you think we need a forward? You know, I think either Stuart or Bowd mentioned earlier on, we could end up with Forrest, Abada, you know, Johnson, Jota, all fine for kind of wide positions. Do we really need another one at this point?
I think we do, in terms of how integral that part of the side is to how we're going to play. I wouldn't have any issue with us having another player on the left, especially as Jota can operate across the front. So, you know, you could play him on the right. So immediately I thought the same. I said, is that really what we need? But the more I think about it, I don't think that you can, you know, I think another player up there wouldn't be too bad of a thing in terms of options. Not at the expense, though, of central midfielders. Probably one, you know, two ideally, definitely one. So it's one of those ones, if it's either or, you're going to pick a central midfielder. But if it's not that, then I would be more than happy to go for him because, you know, Abada for me is, you know, on the right-hand side, you've got Forrest and you've got Abada and that's fine. Abada for me is still quite young and he'll have to work his way in. Jota, I'm very, very happy with. Mikey Johnson, you can't trust his fitness, you know. You want options, so I wouldn't have any problem with it happening.
Bowdy, you know, it's nice just to be linked with players already. Do you think we should take encouragement in that and that, you know, January is going to be more of a organised window and a window where we kind of get what we need?
Don't bet your mortgage on it, I'll tell you that. For free, that's your second thing. But no, it's exciting. And I think... So Armani's nailed it as much as, you know, it's positions where we've got strength. Mikey Johnson, fantastic player, but, you know, we'll see how long his fitness lasts. James Forrest isn't fit just now. And even when he comes back, you know, he's not the youngest player we've got, especially for that position where you're expecting a lot of running. So having another body in and another person who, like Jota and Kyogo, can basically play anywhere along that front three, that becomes very exciting when you get three players in there that very easily move about positions. And from what we can tell, the Dyson boy loves to run. He's a mad runner, runs for days. That's men are saying.
Excellent.
So I mean, that is exciting, but yeah, absolutely. Sir Manny nailed it. Central midfield is the absolute focus and key.
That's three times in this podcast you've said that Sir Manny's nailed it. Do you want to do a ball?
I would like
him?
To nail Sir Manny, but that's...
pretty much. Stu...
Feeling's mutual. The feeling
is mutual. Stu, you're going to get a last question, my man. You've told us that your dinner's in the oven. What are you having?
There's a lasagna in the oven. I've got a very powerful oven. And I am now anxious. I'll be honest, the last five minutes have been pretty anxious. I thought I've timed this really well, and then you're like, we'll talk about the Libby game. I'm like,
it's a very powerful oven. Is it a Stalin 3000 or something?
It's almost restaurant quality. It's very, very powerful. It's very fast. Very fast and powerful.
That microwave? Are you talking about a microwave?
A microwave, yeah. A microwave is Nigello.
Right, what's your question? Come on, let's get in.
No, that is the question. We're going to let you go and get your fucking dinner. Oh, don't lovely. Worry about that. Listen, it's been great to be back on the Cynic Weekly. I'm sure the feeling is mutual across the panel. It's obviously a massive game tomorrow night against Hibs. Massive week, obviously. with two league games, with a Livingston game at the weekend. There will be reactions to both games on thecynic.co. If you've not subscribed already, get yourself on there, subscribe. The reaction goes up shortly after the game, as quickly as possible, once the guys have covered everything. So yeah, make sure you subscribe. This has been the Cynic Weekly. Christopher Somani, you've been a pleasure. You've nailed it.
Thank you very much. Loved being on with you. Glad you're back in the hot seat, my man.
Good.
Bother the people.
So that you don't have to be. Christopher Bowd, your financial advice, particularly around mortgages, has been inspiring. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Hail, hail. Buy low, sell high, guys.
You should have a spin-off pod just with financial advice. That'd be great. And Stu Duggan, he's got a lasagna in the oven, but he's been our Italian stallion. Thanks very much.
It's been a pleasure. There's no greater privilege in the Cynic than being on the pod of the people with you, gents. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. This is the original and best Cynic podcast, the Cynic Weekly. It's been a pleasure, and we will speak to you down the road.